Our reading this morning is Habakkuk chapter 3. You can find that on page 942 in the church Bibles. This is a psalm, by the way, so I'm going to skip the stage directions, front and rear. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come upon the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It looks as though Karen's coming to preach, so that's good. I'm glad you...
Father God, we ask that those were really quite hard words, so we ask that you talk through them to us, help us to know what it was all about. Amen. So we're on chapter 3 of 3 chapters of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet who probably lived in King Josiah's reign. Now, you know about the Old Testament. They had a good king, then they had a bad king, and then they had a bad king, and then they had a bad king, and then things got... And then they went back to a good king. Well, King Josiah was a good king, a godly king, and things were good. But then there were a succession of ungodly kings. Life became more and more ungodly, more and more corrupt. And the first chapter that Rob spoke about some time ago. You remember him saying the first chapter was Habakkuk saying, why? Like all the children say, why? Why, God? You cannot tolerate evil, and yet you are allowing all this. And we may well be saying the same ourselves. And God answered, and he said, I'm sending the Babylonians to sort things out. But they're even worse. We might be bad, but the Babylonians are really, really bad. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. Why do you tolerate the treacherous? So then chapter 2 was God's sort of answer. And Richard did this. He didn't answer why, but he did say what was to come, that there will be justice. And Richard spoke about the five woes. Woe to them that do various wrong things. Babylon was the largest and the wealthiest city in the world for a while. In 2019, it was made a UNESCO World Heritage Site, but apparently there wasn't much to see. It's 55 miles south of Baghdad. And in the 1970s, Saddam Hussein had a recreation sort of thing built, but apparently even that's been partly destroyed by war in Iraq. So woe indeed to Babylon. Justice will be done. And God said, Habakkuk, write it down so that people will know. It's a long timeline. And for anybody that's worked in the NHS, you know, you write it down, because if you don't write it down, it didn't happen. Everything is written down. So Rod read to us very well. Maybe he should have sung it. Because it does say, for the director of music with stringed instruments, in the style of an overture with stringed instruments, the music that swells with the awesomeness of God. Imagine the film. The heroes have outwitted the bad guys. They've battled through the jungle of life. They come out tattered and bruised. They come over the crest of the hill or whatever, and the music soars as they look over a beautiful vista. That's what chapter 3 is. Habakkuk has the experience that nothing else matters because God is. Remember that time when Moses asked God who he was? And God replied, I am. Habakkuk has this moment when suddenly it all makes sense. God is, and that's us. He starts off in the reading. He says, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. And the Jewish faith is very much one of passing the stories on through the generations. Do them again for us, he says, and in your wrath, remember mercy. He didn't say, remember our merits. He said, remember mercy. And then he has this phenomenal outpouring of imagery and declarations of God's splendor and wrath as seen throughout the time of Israel. Remember back in the time of Moses, as they were about to enter the promised land, and Moses couldn't, Moses says, he blessed the Israelites. He said, the Lord came from Sinai. He shone forth from Mount Paran. Habakkuk has gone right back to the beginning of the journey of their life with God. It was at Mount Sinai that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. That was in Exodus 19. And it says at that point, there was thunder and lightning, a loud trumpet blast, and the Lord descended with fire. God appears in all his glory. And then Habakkuk goes on, verse 5. Plagues went before him. We know the story of how the Israelites escaped slavery in Egypt. That was earlier in Exodus. God sent various plagues, ending with the plague on the firstborn. The Israelites were spared if they had marked their door frames with the blood of a lamb. The firstborn of the Egyptian people and livestock were dead. Habakkuk carries on. God stood and shook the earth, made the nations tremble. Ancient mountains crumbled and age-old hills collapsed. And it gets all a bit poetic. When giving the Ten Commandments, the mountains shook, and that was a huge moment. in the history of all people, but otherwise... huge moments. You worry at St Mary's, somebody's phone went off and that was ducks. So where was I? He shook into pieces all the nations of the earth, and God was with the people as they journeyed. Now, you might remember Balak and Balaam. We looked at them some time ago. Balak was the king of Moab, and he saw the Israelites coming, and he didn't stop to find out what they were there for. They were only passing through, but he was so worried that if he could attack, he would, but he didn't have enough people. But he offered a fortune to Balaam to curse them. And that's another story. The dwellings of Midian, the book of Judges, it's all about Gideon defeating the Midianites. And then we get a brief glimpse of Israelites turning back to the Lord, and he saved them. And then you've got King Cushan giving them peace for a bit again. And then the crossing of the Red Sea. That's so famous, it's been made into a film. But there was also the crossing of the River Jordan. Doesn't get so much of a mention. When the people needed to get to Jericho, it's in Joshua chapter 3, it says, "And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap," so that the people could get over the Jordan. And then in Joshua 10, "Sun and moon stood still in the heavens. God stopped the sun and the moon to give Joshua more daylight time for the battle." Even the heavenly bodies follow God's rule. Shows the importance of things being written down so that we can read it. So that we don't just know what God did, but we know what sort of character God has to want to do the things he did. He didn't just do them to show off. Oh, look, I can make the sun and the moon stand still in the sky. Daylight is a day longer. It was to help his people. I can stop the river. Yeah, very clever. But it was to help his people cross over. And Habakkuk has all these things at his fingertips. He knows the history. He knows the awesomeness, the total power, the single-mindedness of God for his people. God loves his people. Even though sometimes he had to cause them to turn back to him. So Habakkuk resigned himself to waiting for the Babylonians to come and do their worst. Safe in the knowledge that there would be justice for them, that God did essentially love his people. So he says, it really didn't matter that there were no figs, no grapes, no olive oil, no sheep, no cattle. Habakkuk says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. As long as there is the Lord, that's what matters." So in his whole book, all three chapters of it, Habakkuk goes from saying, "Why, God, it doesn't make sense. You can't even look at this," to, "Wow, God, you are truly amazing. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." So that's good for Habakkuk. He resolved things with God. How about us? Do we have to have Habakkuk's mindset? Well, things have moved on since his time. Remember how Habakkuk said, "In your wrath, remember mercy." And remember how the Israelites were saved by painting their door frames with blood from a lamb? You put two and two together and you've guessed, you get Jesus. We can read all about the glory, the splendor and the majesty of God. We can learn from the prophets about the character of God, but we can know for ourselves the very loving nature of God from our point in history. We know. We know we've read it often enough. We know from the disciple John's gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We don't have to paint blood on our doors like the Israelites. Jesus was the Lamb, and it's his blood that was spilled for us. And all we have to do is take that on board, accept it, have that belief as part of our very being. And we are saved, not from slavery to the Egyptians, but slavery to our own sins. The God that we look at is the same God who was with the Israelites in the desert, the one that made the mountains shake, who stopped the sun and the moon in their tracks, who held up the waters for his people to cross. They progressed because he sorted it for them. And so we can know that whatever's happening to us in life, no one can take away from us the fact that God cares, that he did send his son to die in our place, that our future with him is assured because he has sorted it for us. And that's how we can rejoice in the Lord with Habakkuk. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Habakkuk, that he has written down this conversation with you for us to learn from. And we pray that we too can remember the simple delight in knowing that whatever happens, you love and care for us. Amen.